okay. I'm such a techno. Not, I've got the music on. I got to figure out how to turn it off. All right, we're there. All right, everybody. Hello, welcome to the Sunday evening Applied Spirituality Life Transformation Coaching Call. And I'm Kathy Kirk, and the founder of Applied Spirituality. And I'm so happy you're here, and you've chosen to do something good for you. So I want to keep this an open forum and less lecture as time goes on. And so, but I also want to make a clean recording so that you guys can listen to it later. But to do that, I want to remind you to mute yourself out using *6. And then whenever you want to make comment or ask questions, simply unmute yourself, then using *6 again. Or you can just use the mute button on your phone. So our numbers are growing, so this is exciting. And I'd like to welcome the new members tonight, and I want to congratulate each of you personally for being here. It's a big step to finally get to the place where you recognize that you're the common denominator of all your experiences in life. And like Jon Kabat-Zinn says, wherever you go, there you are. I can remember the moment of recognition that you are likely the single factor that keeps creating the same scenarios over and over again. Is a big one. And I recall when I realized that I was not the victim, but had always been a willing participant. And it was in the wee hours of the morning. I'd been in my faithful rocking chair most of the night, sort of leaning into this anxious feeling inside of myself, when this revelation just finally sunk in like ink into a blotter, and I got it. And at that moment, I was so ill at the thought, I actually threw up. So it was a stunning moment that changed the course of my life forever, to realize I was no victim, but a willing participant. So I had figured then that I'd been willingly dancing this sick tango for years, and evidently I'd adopted some way of being in the world that I seemed to carry into each and every interaction. So, of course, at the time, I was sick with dread as well, because I didn't have a clue what needed to change or any idea how to go about it. As the old mapmakers would have said, beyond there, there was no map. It was a blank, a void, and even an abyss. But I did have an underlying belief that somehow I would know the way or be shown the way. And so it was, and so it still is. And I promise you, it's the same with you. The universe is responding to you the same as it responds to the requests of every living thing. You're an inherent and integral natural part of the world. You're hardwired in to source energy and the way it all works. You're a complete God kit. And you are not alone or abandoned or without resources. So tonight is week number 3 of our focus on the topic, You Are Enough. For those who are new, in a nutshell, the fundamental underlying belief that we're not good enough is the belief that we are raising up into alignment with source energy right now. Most, if not all, of our work here in these sessions is about aligning our human mind beliefs with our God mind, which is always anchored in well-being all the time. So your God mind knows who you really are, and it beckons you to follow it by how it feels, and that is always good. So get yourself a clean notebook, a new journal, and begin using it daily. This is where you will communicate with yourself and your God self, and you will write your discoveries, your ahas, your questions, your answers, your feedbacks. And also, I want to ask you to go and listen to all the MP3 files of the Sunday night coaching calls up until now. You have a rare opportunity. I think there are 7 of them up there, so take full advantage of it. Also, you can ask questions and make comments in both the coaching forum and via email to coach@appliedspirituality.com. I will answer every question. You can also ask questions here live on the calls, simply again by hitting your star 6 to unmute yourself. I want to remind you that everything you hear here is confidential and stays within the group. If you're inclined to discuss things outside the group, don't. Unless, of course, it's with another member of the group that's within the group or myself. If you want to stay anonymous to the other members of the group, then by all means, use a pseudonym or a username or whatever. Nothing here may be reproduced without expressed written consent. So everyone in your household is welcome to participate. However, if they do, they too must agree to abide within the rules of confidentiality. Okay, so we're about the business of taking full responsibility for the outcomes and quality of our lives. And this is really exciting news because we know how we create our own reality. Now we're practicing thinking deliberate thoughts and cleaning up our personal vibrational countenance and watching then the exterior circumstances shift to reflect back to us what we're thinking and believing. We are becoming masters. Well, yahoo for that, finally. But I have to remind us that we are sort of Neanderthals at this, so we're learning how to, so to speak, use the wheel. What is significantly different and important in this work is to understand that we are vibrational beings first. We create everything vibrationally first, then it manifests into physical format. So the work is internal shifting, how we think and therefore how we feel, so as to see the results differently in the physical, because by the law of attraction, what we're radiating, vibrating out there is being matched tit for tat by the law of attraction. So if you want to know how you're doing in your life, you just sort of look out and take a look at what your life is right now, and that gives you the immediate response. That's what's so some of it you're probably pleased with, some of it you want to work on. So in this work, first, if there's some big decisions that you're wanting to be making, I'd say right now there's no action step. These are the steps. First are the emotional steps. We're going to take this emotional trail first and move ourselves up the emotional vibrational scale. And if you've been to the website and you've been to the coaching page using the password coaching to get in, you'll see two PDF forms. One is the emotional vibrational scale, which kind of looks like a diagram with colors, and it's on an XY axis. That's the one you maybe want to refer to the most. The other one is called the processes to raise or shift your vibrational countenance. And if you look on the PDF of the one with the XY axis, you'll see little numbers underneath the different, for example, anger or overwhelm or whatever. And those numbers correspond to the process that might be useful to use if you're trying to move a particular belief and you find yourself, let's say, at overwhelm. And then you would go there, look at the numbers that it says, and then go to the other sheet and read the process. And that would be something you would use to get yourself out of overwhelm and moving yourself up the vibrational scale on that particular subject or belief. So anyway, we'll talk more about those as we get into particulars later. But back to what we're talking about is the only when you've done the inside work will you be able to make a different choice, because it's the way we think about things is how we got to where we are. So if we knew how to think differently, we would have done it. So obviously, there's stuff in the sort of subconscious basement that just sort of keeps playing over and over again. And when we reach for more, this stuff comes up naturally. So do the inside work first, and we're going to do it together, step by step. And then you'll see new vistas that show themselves to you as you change how you think about something and how you feel about something. Then you're just going to see all these infinite possibilities that from where you are now, you can't see them. So also in this work is the fundamental premise that at your core, you are God itself. That is truly who you really are, perfection, fullness, joy, and freedom. That's your true nature. This part of you is always leading you to your joy and your freedom. Your emotions, then, are your internal guidance system, and everyone has one. So we are remembering how to use this internal guidance system, how it communicates with us, and learning to follow it. When we don't, when we're talked out of it, which is our gut or anyway how it feels correct to us, it is always, always, always our human mind, which is the collection of stuff that we've learned along our physical trail that's not true. And these are the fearful and lackful voices, and they always talk louder than your God self, and they sound logical, and they very effectively keep you from your joy in order to keep you safe. This is what they think. So when you're feeling badly about things, the idea is to consciously and deliberately choose a better feeling thought. So your God self, anchored in well-being, when you've quietened your human mind, will offer you a better thought. By choosing a better feeling thought, we raise this belief inch by inch from I am not good enough up the emotional vibrational scale until we are in alignment with source energy, which is then the belief, knowing, and the remembering, oh, right, I am source energy in physical form, and I'm here having an adventure. I'm the fullness of God itself. I'm sufficient unto the day. I'm worthy. I'm deserving. I'm love itself. I am the fullness of all things good. So that's where we're heading with this four-week sort of mini-intensive. The old model in self-help and personal development was therapy, which was to go digging around for what's wrong with me. And this was the model and a very important step that came in the evolution of mankind in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s. And still, much therapy follows this to a great degree. But it is not helpful in creating the life you dream of or desire. When we understand that the universe is responding to us by matching our vibrational countenance, tit for tat, moment to moment, 24/7, it becomes kind of evident that we need to stop rooting around in the cellar to find out what caused us to believe some thought that was never true in the first place, like I'm not enough. Now, the more time we spend in the lower vibrational thoughts, the more we get more of the same. So having said that, I will say this. There will be times when release techniques might be useful to help you let go of a stubborn or persistent belief. But the very process of reaching for more freedom or joy or growth will bring these things up naturally. And when they come up, we have techniques and processes to help you release the old stuff and move on. Now, from time to time, you may think you need additional assistance, and I, by all means, go get some therapy for that if you have something significant. But I caution you to don't make a career out of it. Get in and get out and get on with it. Okay. Also, sometimes our human mind wants or needs to understand how this happened. You want names. I can't say it matters at all. In fact, it truly doesn't matter, but I understand. I'd like to understand how my human mind put together some perverted idea. But more, I think the ego mind wants to know who's to blame. Everyone, I think, goes here. We want names and places and, you know. And then, of course, we have to go through the process of forgiving. But I'll tell you the ultimate secret right now. Eventually, the ultimate place you have to forgive is yourself. Because at the bottom of every misbelief or lie or false premise that you bought into is you, because you bought in. Now, you may have been a little kid, even a baby, but it doesn't absolve you from your own participation. Buying into the belief that you deserved it, you weren't enough, blah, blah, blah. In the end, each of us abandoned ourselves internally for what the world was saying externally. And that, dear ones, is the ultimate power we are reclaiming right here and right now. So each of you have arrived here from your own unique path. You have your own unique vantage point of false beliefs, and you have your own individual experiences that have resulted in who you are right now, and the fact that you want to move, you want more, and you realize you're in your own way. But honor your path. Give up the idea of regret. Let go of the idea of blame, because that's not what we're doing here. This is a new moment, and everything up to now has been purposeful to bring you to this moment. It's all been on the path to your good. So let's be clear. Your good self is perfectly intact. Your God self is perfectly intact and part and parcel of what beckons you forward towards your joy and bliss, your best life. Your human mind is the one thinking and telling you that you're not good enough. You're broken. You need fixed. By now, the world may even have labeled you something like criminal or ill or mentally sick or insecure or wrong or bad or even a good person. That, folks, is the collection of false beliefs we are leaving behind for the truth of beingness, which is that you are source energy itself. Whatever path you've taken along the way, whatever experiences, whatever you've done, said, been, every single one of them has been out of the false belief that you were not good enough. Even seeking the label from other humans of wanting to be known as a good person has been done out of that same lie. You simply are good with a capital G. You simply are innocence with a capital I. You are truth with a capital T. You are beauty and wisdom and light and joy and love itself. That's who you really are, and that's who your human mind is coming home to. And that is the work we are about here. So, you are the fullness of God in your own body. We are pursuing the realization of this truth rather than digging into the lies of who you thought you were. We are moving towards what is wanted. We are reaching for the realization of the love within because it feels good. And from now on, the feeling of good to you is the same thing as aligning your human mind with God mind. So if you're feeling good by any definition, delight, intrigue, joy, fun, love, beauty, play, amusement, pleasure, you get out the dictionary, get out the thesaurus, any descriptor that we think of that is good, when you're feeling anything of those, you're in the neighborhood of God mind. So there's kind of a really good default thinking. So when you're reaching to feel better, you're reaching for a thought that feels better, just get into the neighborhood. So, all right, now there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you cannot leave behind you. Your current ideas of who you think you are, whether it's sickness or whatever, we just have to be willing to let them go. Now, I can remember very clearly being utterly frustrated with that phrase, just let it go. I yelled to somebody, if I knew what it was I was letting go of, I'd gladly do it if I knew how. I imagine some of you might be feeling the same thing, and I want to reassure you that you are a perfect God kid, and in the moment you need to let something go, you will feel it keenly. It's felt inside kind of like the rock in the hard place, that rock being your human mind and the hard place your God mind, and you're sort of squeezed in between. And you will kind of sort of not know you'll feel paralyzed, like unable to move either way, this way or that way. It's the moment, and you can tell by that, like, oh my God, I can't go either way. You'll know that's the quintessential moment of choosing more joy, more life, and to do something different than you did. We usually know that moment because we realize it's outstandingly important. And then unless I do or think something differently, it all goes back the way it was. And in that moment, we choose more life. We choose our good. We choose our freedom. And it usually looks bloody scary to the human mind. It looks like we're going to fall, fail, be vulnerable, crash and burn. It's the direction we never chose before. And that's the exact place we have to go, the thought we have to think, and then we know the action we have to take. So this is a natural process when we reach for more. When we want more love, when we want a good life, when we want abundance, complete and perfect health, we want intimacy and love in relationship, we want mutual and reciprocal relationships, we want adventure. This is how we come to those rock and hard place moments. We asked and the big you responds, and now we have to come into alignment with our asking. Those rock and hard place moments are steps we take internally to come into alignment with our God mind. The way we thought about ourselves wrongly has become habitual, and we think these things, these unflattering and unrelenting thoughts, usually unconsciously, and we do it over and over. We are like the rat in the maze. But what's different now is that you've asked for your joy and your freedom. And you're reaching, you're asking. And then the larger part of yourself, your God self, which is like 96% of you, just expanded into what you just asked for. So it's already enjoying the fullness of what you asked for. All that remains is for you to align your human mind with it. We do this one thought at a time, and we do this one moment at a time. And we become aware and conscious and begin to deliberately choose what thoughts we want to think. We become aware of others around us who are reflecting back to us exactly what we think and believe. If there's someone in your life that's eliciting from you a negative emotion, in other words, they make you mad, they make your skin crawl, you hate them, they make you uncomfortable, they irritate you in some way, that's your information, because they're reflecting back to you some aspect of yourself that you can see externally. It's like mirror, mirror on the wall. And at that moment, the hardest question, but the very best question you could ask yourself is, how is this me? Excuse me. Okay, once you get to that point where you see these things and people and say, oh, thank you, that's just what I was looking for, so I can let that part of my false beliefs go, then you've stopped blaming, you've accepted responsibility, and the contrast of those people and events becomes precious information to you. You can feel the gratitude for the universe, for the perfection of such a system that clearly presents to you your own stuck points so that you can deal with it. Then you realize this person is showing me that I believe I'm not enough, so they're treating me as less, or they're behaving like they're not enough, or they don't deserve. This continued lack of health or money is showing me that I believe there's not enough. So we can use our environment all the time to give us sort of a checkup on how we're doing. Everything here is set up for your good. This is a benevolent universe. It has your back. It is always working for your good. It is always beckoning you home. It wants you. You just need to turn towards it. Choose the better feeling thoughts about yourself. And like a mountain climber, I like to use this analogy. It's in mountain climbing, they have pitons, and they're little stakes that they pound into the mountain to latch onto. They can secure ropes to them, and sometimes they're used to lever themselves up. Sometimes they're used to catch you so you don't fall. But I like to use a piton as the analogy of a belief. So when you start climbing a mountain, and in our analogies, you know, we're doing the consciousness mountain. When you begin, the pitons or the beliefs that you set in place at the bottom of the climb, if you've attached a rope to them, by the time you get sort of, you know, three or four climbs up, you're stuck unless you let it go. It served you to get to where you are, but if you continue to hang on to that belief, it'll just drag on you, and it won't let you raise up any higher. And so as you go, you place new pitons and new beliefs, and you use those to assist your continued ascent. So you're going to come to places where you think, oh, dear, I think I'm not sick. Yes, because you have to come to believe you're not sick. And then you're going to say, well, dare I believe I'm deserving, even though I've done thus and so. Yeah, yeah, because you have to come to know you are deserving and worthy, no matter what your past has been. Does this mean everyone, even bad people, are deserving? Yeah, yeah, because you're not bad. That's not who you are. So I want you to stay focused on you, though. When you come to love yourself unconditionally, warts and all, and magnificence and all, only then can you begin to look out into the world and love what you see out there. You see, it takes new eyes, and people and conditions out there reflect right now what people believe about themselves and the world. And by being here, we're all shifting this. So what is evident is that we are the powerful creators of our own reality. For we've created a powerful big mess out there. But becoming conscious, coming to remember who we are shifting the creations that we will make into the world in future. So there is enough, and you are enough, and all is well. All right, continuing this week with You Are Enough, Part 3, our focus this week is on creating deliberate thoughts and ideas that we would be thinking and saying if we truly believed we were good enough, like source energy in the flesh having a physical experience. So this might be considered like, quote, acting as if, but for our purposes, it's thinking as such. So in the week, as we come into our week, I want us to be thinking, if I believed I was the fullness of good, that I was source energy in the flesh, that I was deserving and worthy, what thoughts would I be thinking? And right now, I think if you ask that question, you sort of have a blank, like, I don't know. And that's true. You don't know right now. But it's so cool to open up question, because once you've asked the question, the universe rushes in to answer it for you. So it's kind of like getting a peek, let's say, into a life you don't have any knowledge of. Let's say, let's say a millionaire's life. And if you were privy to, like, just sort of walk around with them for a day and just listen like a fly on the wall to the things they thought and the things they talked about and the plans they were making and the ideas they were having, they would be of a great big difference than somebody who had no idea of what that meant. Another example might be somebody who's been chronically ill all their life and who's trying to imagine complete and perfect health. So their challenge is, well, okay, if I had complete and perfect health, what kinds of thoughts would I be thinking? So obviously, if you have complete and perfect health and you take that for granted and you just have it, well, then you're making plans to go for a hike or go for a bike ride or take a ride or go on a vacation or maybe run in the morning as opposed to the evening, or all kinds of different thoughts that somebody who's been chronically ill and thinking about illness isn't thinking. So our challenge is to ask the question, if I were believing from within the belief of being the fullness of God itself, right here in this body, expressed as, say, your name, if I believed that and I felt that worthiness and I felt that knowing and I remembered that, what kinds of things would I be thinking about and what kinds of things would I be saying? So that's like the assignment for the week. So as you launch into your usual dialogues and your usual tapes and the usual things you're saying and the usual things you're thinking, this is where you stop and say, okay, wait, I have a new way of thinking this week. I've asked myself a new question. Because it's the thoughts we've been thinking that created now. So using the same thinking isn't going to get us out of it. It's kind of like a fly being caught on the inside of a glass. Everybody has seen that, and it's maddening, right? This fly is stuck, and he thinks he can get out, and he's looking to the freedom outside the glass, but he keeps hitting the glass. And if you just look up, you might see that the door is wide open right next to the window. That's what we're attempting to do. We're the fly that's caught against the glass. And the glass is that way that we've been thinking about things. And specifically, the thinking that we're not enough, that we are less than, and that we are not deserving. So we keep bumping into that glass. So the question about if I believed that I were enough, if I felt my worthiness, if I knew myself to be the fullness of God right here in this moment, which is like looking at the door right next to the window that's wide open, that's the door we want to go through. We want to stop banging ourselves against the same old glass and stop pushing and allow and look up and see that where the door's open. Now, the fact that you've asked if you can be still and let your mind be empty, pretty soon new ideas start coming into your head. And those are the ones you follow, are those new ideas. So if you were thinking, let's say, if you were in a perfect intimate relationship where both partners knew who they really were, what do you suppose their conversations would be like? What do you suppose their individual thoughts would be? These are just like interesting questions to think about, because this is where you have to go. You know, Einstein said that it's insanity to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. Well, my version of that is it's insanity to keep thinking the same things and expect a different result. Because if you keep thinking the same things, you can't do anything differently. So, another example, if you were perfectly healthy, mentally and physically, what kinds of thoughts would be in your mind? Interesting question. So ponder these. These are what I want you to chew on in the week instead of letting your tail wag you around with that incessant chatter. You start being the deliberate creator of the thoughts you want to be considering. You set the channel. All right, let's say you were in abundance with plenty of dollars and you were successful. What kinds of thoughts would you be thinking? How would that feel? You see, you can't get there until you can imagine being there and then experience being there. And then you are there. In the 60s, the term inner child got lots of play. It was an important step in the evolution of mankind in learning how to awaken from the dream of not enough. Well, there's an inner child, or possibly a whole group of them, who want to play, and they want to dream and imagine. In their world, anything's possible, and they can become anything they want to be. They can be anywhere they want to be, and they can do anything. They're magical and amazing. They're superheroes. So this week, in addition to all the other work that I'm having you do with respect to discovering who you really are, I want you to get that rusty imagination out of the basement, dust it off, oil it up, polish it, and start using it. And this is the perfect week because it's Halloween week. Now, Halloween is the time when we get to imagine ourselves as anything we want to. We can be anything. We can dress up like that. We can act the role. And nobody has anything to say about it. It's just great fun. So this week, I want you to fashion your Halloween costume down to the tiniest details and act the part. What kinds of things would you be feeling, saying, believing, and doing if you were Warren Buffett? What kinds of things would you be feeling, saying, thinking, wearing, and doing if you were, oh, a butterfly? And what kinds of things would you be feeling, saying, thinking, and doing if you were, oh, Wonder Woman? What kinds of things would you be feeling, saying, thinking, doing, and looking like as Peter Pan, an astronaut, Madame Curie? You pick it. But this is your chance to literally act it out and feel that part. And that, friends, is what the universe is going to start matching you as. That's what they're going to match you at. So what do you want? You know, here's your shot. Go for it. And it's all great fun and play. So in order to do this, you have to feel who you'd like to be and know why, and what you'd like to be and why, and go outside your comfort zone. Really stretch. Ask those inner children, what would they love to be experiencing? Who would they like to dress up as? What do they want to feel and experience? Take on the role utterly and completely. If you can, do it for the whole week. For example, your inner kids want to dress up and be a Hell's Angel biker. So go get the stick-on tattoos and leather jackets, dress the part. But what you do is imagine your kids are wanting to feel like this. Imagine the feeling that they want from this. Is it power? Is it freedom? Can they hear Willie Nelson singing on the road again? A life of traveling from place to place, wind in your hair? What is it? Journal this stuff, because this is you communicating with you. This is your soul saying, yes, this is what I want. Go for it. What we're after here is the feeling, the actual internal experience and vibration of that character. It doesn't matter if you're a Hell's Angel, but it matters if you feel free inside, if you feel the joy inside, if you feel the abundance inside. That's what the big you is going to be matching that feeling. And so, just to bring in a little scripture here, Matthew 21:22 says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." And this is what this passage means. A prayer is an asking. You have asked. Now we are working on the believing. And it doesn't matter how you come to believe it. You have the freedom. You have the health. You have the joy. This love, this whatever, all that matters is that you vibrate that having it to the big you. And it's done. And it's received. And it's manifested in front of you. Okay. Now we're up to 8 steps to shift how you come into alignment with I am enough, I am plenty, and I am worthy. And I'm going to review them for you guys because I want you to be doing them diligently every day. And, of course, it's sort of common knowledge. It takes us 3 to 4 weeks to change a habit. And a belief is only a habit you've thought for a very long time. So we're trying to establish a new pattern of belief, a new habit of belief, that by gosh, I am enough and I am worthy and I am the fullness and I deserve. And so we're doing this for a full 4 weeks, but that doesn't mean you have to stop. You can keep doing it. But this is, we're up to 8 steps. First step, just to recap, and these are all in the last few sessions, but I want you to have them tonight. First, I want you to reaffirm your commitment of love to yourself. This is a solemn promise to choose yourself, to reaffirm that vow to love yourself unconditionally, no matter what. You will never leave you. You will never forsake you. You will never abandon you ever again. Number two, set your intention to love and honor yourself unconditionally. Set your intention to accept yourself just as you are, right this minute, as is, warts and all. Only this time, you are also going to accept the allness of you. You're now going to open up to see and realize who you really are, the goodness of you, the brilliance of you, the wisdom of you, the divinity of you. Number three, post number one and two in visible places so that you can see these easily. Sticky notes, 3x5 cards, poster board, dry erase board, tattoo it on the inside of your eyelids, your promise to love yourself and your intention to accept all of yourself, not just your faults, but your fullness. Number four, throughout your day, you're now going to pay attention to every single time you are diminishing, criticizing, disrespecting, or dumping on yourself. For example, if you refuse to look at yourself in the mirror, you catch yourself. You acknowledge you've just disrespected yourself because you think you're what? Too old, too fat, too ugly? Now you stop. You breathe. You take a deep breath. You breathe in life. You relax your whole being, and you say to yourself, well, I'm the fullness of Source itself here in this physical body. What I am is good, period. I am enough, period. I am plenty. Or make up the words that you want to believe and breathe that in. And then put 25 cents into a jar, reward yourself for your awareness and for making that shift. Number five, in the morning and in the evening, in your journal, you're going to make lists of all the things you really admire about yourself. Now, come on, secretly you adore yourself, but since it wasn't politically correct to boast and brag about you, you hid them. So make those lists and come out of the closet in full love with yourself. Lists can be A, all the ways you're unique, B, wonderful, C, talented, D, gifted, E, a joy, F, a beauty and a light to the world, G, what you most appreciate about you, H, what you most enjoy about you, what you most treasure about you, and what you would never trade for all the tea in China. Number six, you take these lists with you on your bathroom breathing breaks throughout your day. All of us go to the bathroom 5 to 6 times a day. It's the only place we're alone, and that's where we get to center back up and be quiet. So you take these lists with you, and you breathe in, and you fill yourself up. You say always, and you always begin with, I am plenty. I'm more than good enough. I'm the fullness of Source itself, and here's the proof. And you read your lists, and you breathe. And you breathe, and you breathe, and you relax. Number seven, this happened this last week. You may not speak into words any negative thought. You can write them into your journal for the purpose of working something out or understanding it, but you may not speak them to yourself or to anyone else. And number eight is this week's focus, actively imagine your highest self, how you feel, what kinds of things you would be thinking, feeling, saying, and doing. Who would be with you? What ideas would you guys be expressing? What experiences would you be having? What plans would you be making? actively imagine and feel some aspect of your life as you want it to be. At least 3 times a day for 3 to 5 minutes, get that imagination out of the basement and put it back into service. Play, play, play. Have fun, enjoy, and write these things into your journal. Okay, I got really windy tonight, so I'm sorry about that. I'll open it up now for comments and questions on anything at this point. So if you have anything you want to say, any comments you want to make, just unmute yourself, hit *6. Okay, well, this is the quietest group. One of these days, we're all going to get chatty at the same time. So it's coming. I believe it. I do have 2 questions that came to me through the internet. The first one is from Nan in Cincinnati. And Nan says, I just went back to work after having 6 months off. During the 6 months, I actively pursued a new job, which was much like working. But I did have a better feeling inside. Now I'm 2 weeks into my new job, and I'm finding that same stressed feeling is back again. I'm eating too much, and the new people I'm working with seem to work at a snail's pace. I don't know how to do this, be at ease in my work, but I'd sure like to reclaim some of that ease I found when I wasn't working. What do I do? Okay, Nan. Well, good for you. Good question. I'm sure everybody has some way to identify with this one. I'm going to stick with the theme right now of not enough. And every time we have that anxiety inside of us, that anxiety to rush and push is always at the root, always, always, always at the root of it is not enough. And the first levels of it, you might discover them to be there's not enough time, you're afraid there's not enough time, or you don't know enough, or you don't have enough training, or... But at the very base of it, of course, is the belief that you believe you're not enough. So we get ourselves all knotted up and anxious, and we're literally squeezing off source energy flowing into us. That's why I start all of my trainings with the breathing. So I want you to use your breath, first of all, and breathe in 4, out 8, and try to just calm down and relax, because this, you've got to, in some way, get yourself aligned and feel better. Just find some way to feel better is the first step. When you were looking for work and you did find a better feeling place, in other words, you said you didn't feel as stressed as you do now when you're working. Well, that's good, because now you have a contrast, and you knew it felt better then, so you want to go back to at least feeling that good. And so that's good, because you have some idea of where you want to get to. So you want to calm down. You want to write lists. Yeah, or I want to go back just a little bit here. I have to laugh because you're saying that the people you work with seem to work at a snail's pace. I think that's just hysterical, because they seem to be at a place of ease and it's driving you crazy. So I challenge you to try to not make them bad and wrong, but perhaps take a page out of their book. And at the same time, practice pre-paving before you go to work. Do some quiet time. Do some journaling. Be still with yourself. Get these 3x5 cards out. Start doing this work of I am enough, I am the fullness. And you might want to add in there's enough time. Things are unfolding at exactly the right pace. There's plenty of time. There's enough. I have enough knowledge. If I need more knowledge, I'll know exactly where to get it. I'm safe. It's all okay. Whatever. Start preparing those and pre-pave your day. And use those bathroom breaks when you go to calm down and know you're okay. You are good enough, and just keep doing it and make those lists. This 3 week, 4 week practice of I Am Enough was designed specifically. It might have had your name on it, although I didn't know what you were up to. But keep doing it and breathe and calm down. Nothing bad is going to happen to you unless you stay tight and you stay resistant and you stay believing that you're not enough. Then you will attract all those things. So do those things and then get back to us in a week or two and see if you don't notice it. But you've got to actually do this stuff. You can't just sort of listen to the calls and go, gee, thanks, that was a good call, I feel better, and not do it in the week. You actually have to do it. So that's why we call it applied spirituality. So thanks, Nan, for the question. Good luck this week. I'll be holding the space for you. The second question here I have is, they're anonymous. They're not saying who they're from. So somebody is saying, my son, who is 4 years old, is on a wheat-free diet. There's a patch of eczema on his arm, and it keeps getting larger. And the nutritionist says we might have to take him off dairy and peanuts now, too. What's going on? Okay, well, thank you so much for the call. And I really do want to honor you and appreciate that you're getting it, that a physical symptom has an emotional component. So it's not about treating it just with physical steps. So very good on this. Obviously, we take physical steps to support the physicality until the consciousness of well-being is in place. So, first of all, I guess since he's four, I'm going to have to ask you or his caregivers in the general environment he's in, that he's being influenced in this environment, that there's something unsafe. He's feeling an antagonism about this. And so that's what eczema is. It's an internal anxiety and panic, and he needs to feel the connection with his joy in his expansion, in his goodness, and in his own well-being. So I'm thinking that, I'm not blaming you, I'm not pointing the finger at you, it's a big concern in this day and age. I was substitute teaching a week or so ago, and there's a lot of concern now all of a sudden about peanuts and things. And I think back when I was in school, and I don't remember anything like this ever being discussed. So it just seems that now it's a big issue, and everybody's focused on our food and these kinds of things. So at the base of this is our fear. Okay, so somehow we're going to have to ease him into alignment with well-being, that he is in perfect wellness, that he is safe. So I would say to continue and escalate this focus and take him off dairy and take him off peanuts and all that. If he's not allergic to that stuff and he's not... If it's just eczema, I would just sort of try to get our focus off of it. I just wouldn't pay any attention to it. And I would soothe him back into well-being and joy and fun and safety. And when he ate something, the deliciousness of how good it tastes and how nutritious the food is and how beautiful it looks. And I would focus him on the goodness of things and see if just that doesn't sort of, and you might just sort of keep an eye on it, but I think everybody's paying so much attention to it, it's getting bigger. And that's the law of attraction, making anything you focus on get bigger. But just try to just soothe him back into alignment. Get yourself into alignment with the food is good and it's safe and maybe there's a bigger fear that's at underneath all this. So write the question in your journal, see what shows up for you, and ask for the answer. And I might remind everybody, when you do write questions into your journal to be answered, you know, you have to, we're like vibrational towers, you know, like CB radios. And when you send, you're asking the question. And at some point, you have to, like, click the little receiver, the little microphone, and say, over, and then let the universe answer you. And at that point, you move into receiving mode and be quiet and listen for your answers, you know, and expect them. Expect them in unexpected places, but expect them. So, okay. That's all the questions I have that are on the internet. Is there anybody out there that has a question or a comment about tonight, about anything? Okay. I'm going to give you a minute more. Maybe you're working up your courage or you're formulating a question or a comment. Anything is fair game here. There is no topic off limits. There's no comment I don't want to hear. It's all good. I'm willing to be here till 8 o'clock, you guys, and it's only 7. But if you're going to ask anything, well, all right, one of these days. It's happening. I know it's going to happen. We're just going to start having roundtable discussions, and it'll be great. So for now, I'm reminded by my non-physical friends to tell you to remember this week that you have nothing to fear and you have nothing to worry about, and you are loved beyond measure. So unless you have anything else, I'm going to say goodnight, and I will see you next Sunday night. And please use the coaching forum. Write your questions. Write your comments. Send me emails at coach@appliedspirituality.com. And thank you so much for being here. Have a great week. Good night.